who would guarantee peace in Ukraine if a deal was signed to end the war? That question was answered yesterday following a meeting between Ukraine's allies in Paris. France and the UK signed a declaration of intent, saying they would step up and deploy troops to Ukraine if a peace deal is made with Russia. But Russia has previously rejected the idea of NATO troops having a presence inside Ukraine. The deal in Paris was backed by the United States. Speaking after the meeting, French President Emmanuel Macron said everyone in the room wanted peace in Ukraine.
These security guarantees are key to ensuring that a peace agreement never means the surrender of Ukraine or a new threat to Ukraine. All participants in this meeting of volunteers want one thing: peace in Ukraine, peace in Europe.
La paix en Ukraine, la paix en Europe.
The British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said that military hubs would be established in Ukraine in the event of a ceasefire.
This is a vital part of our ironclad commitment to stand with Ukraine for the long term. It paves the way for the legal framework under which British, French and partner forces could operate on Ukrainian soil, securing Ukraine's skies and seas and regenerating Ukraine's armed forces for the future. We discussed these issues in detail today, and so I can say that following a ceasefire, the UK and France will establish military hubs across Ukraine and build protected facilities for weapons and military equipment to support Ukraine's defensive needs.
Let's get some analysis on that deal now, and we can speak to Siobhan O'Grady, Ukraine Bureau Chief for the Washington Post. Siobhan, good morning again, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We now have an answer to that question of who would guarantee Ukraine security if there is a peace deal signed. The next question is, will Russia accept it, having previously rejected the idea of putting NATO troops on the ground inside Ukraine?
I think that's the big question. And of course, we heard Macron there saying that everyone in that room wanted nothing more than peace in Ukraine. Russia wasn't in that room, and Russia continues to attack Ukraine daily and continues its fight despite the fact that all of these conversations are happening in parallel. And at times it honestly does feel that some of these conversations are happening in a vacuum. Of course, it's very important for Ukraine to continue with the process of being engaged in peace talks, making clear to all parties that Ukraine wants peace more than anything, especially to the United States, which has at times expressed concern that Ukraine itself doesn't want peace, even though it is the victim of this invasion. And so I think having U.S. officials there, having Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, endorsing some of these decisions that were made in Europe yesterday does suggest that there's U.S. support for the future plan. But unless more pressure is put on Russia to end the war, then none of this is really going to happen.
Does the presence of those envoys, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, does that indicate that the US might be willing to put pressure on Russia to accept a deal?
I think that there is increasing frustration from the White House about Russia's behavior. And I do think that we saw some signals just after the new year when there was the kind of apparently false flag attack on Russia, where they claimed that Ukraine had launched a drone attack on one of Putin's many residences. They, of course, didn't even say if Putin was in the residence at that time. And later we saw reporting that the CIA confirmed that that attack had not actually happened. And Trump reshared on social media an article from the New York Post sort of decrying that claim by Russia. And there seemed to be kind of momentum of, okay, it looks like actually Trump is believing Ukraine, that he was not duped by Russia, as everybody thought he may have been after his phone call with Putin, when he himself criticized that alleged drone attack that Ukraine denied had ever happened. But then we saw, what happened in Venezuela. There are distractions. There are so many other events taking place that are taking priority now also in the U.S. So I do think that having Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in Europe yesterday signaled that there's still huge U.S. interest in ending the war, but we haven't seen any clear signals from Trump himself since those first days after the new year.
How much detail did we get yesterday? For example, was there clarity yesterday on where these French and UK troops would be positioned in Ukraine? I mean, would they be close to the contact line, and would they engage Russia if there was any form of reinvasion?
I think definitely there's the understanding that they would be there as a deterrence force. And what everyone is really hoping for is that these security guarantees will be legally bound, which would require intervention in some way in case of future Russian attack. And that is what Ukraine is really pushing for, that the troops, yes, they must be there to deter Russian attack, but Russia wouldn't be afraid of attacking if they thought that the French and British troops would just be turning around in case of a future attack on Ukraine. So I think that is really what is in the next phase of talks, is ensuring that this will legally bind European countries to respond in case of future attack on Ukraine, and to make sure that that they have these ironclad security guarantees, which is what they've been asking for. You know, we've heard the U.S. say that some of these security guarantees could be equivalent to NATO Article 5, which requires, you know, intervention in case of an attack on one of the members of the alliance, that an attack on one is an attack on all. But again, the whole reason that Russia, you know, claims that this war began was because of its fear of NATO influence on its flank, and that it does not want NATO presence in Ukraine. So the idea that Russia would say, sure, we'll sign on to a peace agreement, knowing now that all of these other guarantees have been discussed, is you know, a concern. At the same time, Ukraine has to do what's best for itself. And it has to seek these guarantees because it knows that as conversations continue, things could shift, and it needs to get things in writing now.
Okay. Now, the U.S. is effectively the overseer or the guarantor of this, of any potential peace agreement. But the endorsement of the deal yesterday, it comes against the background of the United States' own incursion into Venezuela and the continued threats to take over Greenland and refusing to rule out military force in relation to that. So is trust in the United States as a peace broker undermined because of the actions of the past week?
I do think that all of that has made for a little bit of an awkward backdrop to these talks. Yesterday, there were questions put to both Keir Starmer and Emmanuel Macron about whether the United States can be that guarantor, and they sort of tried to shrug off those questions. I think the fact that is why Ukraine is so eager to get a lot of these guarantees legally bound, so that there is actually a legal precedent for this in the event that it happens again, both in the United States and in Europe, so that it is enshrined in law. And I think that was something that they really felt was missing after the Minsk agreements to try to resolve the war in the east of Ukraine that began in 2014, that they felt that guarantees were not enshrined in law and therefore were not fully respected after when Russia did attack Ukraine again. So I think that trying to ensure that all of this, that there are, it's not just word of mouth, it's not just President Trump saying, we will step in if something happens. It's really making sure that this is all enshrined in law.
Siobhan, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That's Siobhan O'Grady, Ukraine Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. It's 21 minutes past 7.